You're listening to local and regional news on KMUN. I'm Katie Frankowitz. A bill that would sever Oregon's tax code from some of the federal tax breaks pushed by President Trump last year has passed the state Senate. As Dirk Vanderhart reports, the proposal has spurred stark disagreements in the Capitol.
H.R. 1, the tax bill Congress passed last year, is expected to slash Oregon revenues by nearly $900 million in the current budget. Senate Bill 1507 would disconnect Oregon from three tax breaks included in the federal bill. They include tax exemptions to car loan interest and rules helping businesses that buy expensive equipment. The bill would also expand state tax credits to low-income Oregonians and businesses that create jobs. In total, Senate Bill 1507 is expected to bring more than $300 million back into the state. Democrats say that's a sensible budget move at a time Oregon is looking at painful cuts. Republicans say it's a tax hike that will ensure businesses leave the state. The bill passed the state Senate largely along party lines and now heads to the House. I'm Dirk Vanderhart reporting.
Lawmakers in the Oregon House have scrapped a proposal that would have allowed cities and counties to raise gas taxes without voter approval. Here again is Dirk Vanderhart reporting.
The proposal emerged late last week in an amendment to a wide-ranging transportation bill. If approved, the tweak would have let local governments set gas taxes as they saw fit, skipping the often high hurdle of a public vote. As they try to fill a $300 million hole in the state's transportation budget, lawmakers are considering reducing road funding to local governments. But the idea saw fierce pushback. State Representative Paul Evans, the Monmouth Democrat who proposed the change, announced Monday he was backing off.
I actually believe local control means local responsibility, but clearly a whole bunch of folks with some very interesting diagrams and some very interesting threats do not agree.
Cities and counties had the ability to set gas taxes without holding an election until 2009. That year, lawmakers began requiring voter buy-in. I'm Dirk Vanderhart reporting.
Portland will continue to seek penalties against the owner of the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement building. Alex Zielinski reports.
Developer Stuart Lindquist has leased his South Portland building to ICE since 2011. Last October, city officials accused Lindquist of violating a land use agreement by allowing ICE to detain people in the facility overnight or for more than 12 hours. Lindquist challenged the decision. On Friday, the city said it wasn't changing course. The city said Lindquist must correct the violation within 30 days. That would require proving that ICE is no longer detaining people for long periods of time in the facility. If that doesn't happen, the city will begin fining Lindquist more than $900 each month going forward. Lindquist has 10 days to appeal the decision. He did not immediately respond to OPB's request for comment. He previously accused the city of illegally using the land use violation to retaliate against him for leasing to ICE. Alex Zielinski, OPB.
Democratic lawmakers in Washington state are feeling hopeful that a bill they see as a solution to Washington's regressive tax code will make it to the governor. State government reporter Sarah Mises-Tan has more on the progress of a proposed tax on incomes above $1 million that the Senate approved Monday.
Republicans argue the income tax violates the state constitution, and they say if it passes, wealthier residents will leave and local economies will lose out. Lawmakers have already made changes to the bill for the sake of high earners and large tech companies. The latest version doubles an exemption for charitable donations, and an amendment adopted Monday would roll back sales taxes on technology services like webinars and customized software that only just went into effect. Democrats expect the bill to evolve further in the House. Republicans are likely to try again to add in a sales tax for diapers. The Senate is also sending to the House several separate tax relief measures, mostly aimed at seniors. That includes a rollback of the new estate tax. In Olympia, I'm Sarah Mises-Tan.
Bird species are on the decline across the U.S. for all different reasons. They've lost habitat. The climate is changing. Food sources are disappearing. But there's a new program in Washington that hopes to create more habitat for birds, using ranches. NWPB's senior environmental correspondent Courtney Flatt starts off the story in Wenatchee.
There's a small booth on the edge of the Washington Cattlemen's Association convention you might not expect. Audubon Washington, the bird people. Seth Hewlett mans the table.
How are you doing? Have you heard about ACR?
He's pitching a program that's new to the state. Audubon Conservation Ranching.
We can build habitats with grazing.
In other words, the program uses livestock to improve habitat for birds. Samantha Buma strolls by the Audubon booth. She works at Stayman Flats Ranch near Chelan, Washington.
Every day I'm out walking with my cows and checking on them.
She's also making sure the grass will grow back after they graze it. But that's not all she sees in the pasture. There are the usual avian suspects, eagles, owls, hawks, and...
We have killdeer, and we have a lot of those little birds that always run out in front of the road. What are they called? Quail.
How will the conservation ranching program work here? In Washington, it will certify land as bird-friendly, starting on the Columbia Plateau. On a foggy morning, Hewlett drives his truck around Franklin County.
We're gonna jump down here.
He's surveying birds and looking for potential ranches that might buy in. That's the first step. Hewlett believes
what's good for birds is good for people.
Maintaining and even improving these habitats will help so many things, he says. The soil, cattle, deer, and of course birds. Audubon will survey the property for all types of birds and grasses. For each ranch, Hewlett will come up with a customized 3-year management plan. The plan will help steer cattle to pastures when birds don't need the land. They're focusing on several birds they consider priorities in the area, like sage grouse. They use mating grounds called leks.
If a landowner is in an area where known sage grouse, we want to make sure we're not having the cows in there during the leking season.
A third-party group will certify the land every year. That would mean ranchers can add a bird-friendly sticker to their beef or bison products. On the Columbia Plateau, Hewlett says working with private property owners will be key to increasing bird habitat.
If we're going to make a difference, we have to work with the land managers that are on the land and doing the work.
According to Audubon, the Conservation Ranching Program has ranches certified in 15 states. That covers more than 4 million acres of land. Unlike other certifications, Audubon pays for everything. The Conservation Ranching Program is funded differently in each state. In Washington, the work will be covered by grants. In Central California, rancher Sally Calhoun signed up for the program as soon as she heard about it. Calhoun owns the 7,600-acre Piscinas Ranch, which got certified this past year.
We're managing for life and for biodiversity in every decision that we make.
The Conservation Ranching Program started in Missouri in 2017. Calhoun says they're figuring out how to translate the program's grazing protocols from what's used in the Midwest to what works well in California. The original grazing recommendations didn't really fit Calhoun's ranch, so she says they're working on better ideas.
We want to show that you can, you know, raise cattle and still have a lot of birds.
California's program is pretty much at capacity, with 11 enrolled ranches. That's about 175,000 acres certified as bird-friendly. Managers in California say now they need more funding to hire more workers. At the Cattlemen's Convention in Wenatchee, Hewlett sees faces he recognizes. Russ Stingley has a ranch near Allensburg. The Stingley family has thought about joining the program.
I have no objections with it.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll set up a time.
A quick handshake and Stingley walks away. Hewlett buzzes. He says that could be Washington's first ranch to sign up. I'm Courtney Flatt in Wenatchee.
This story is part of NWPB's efforts to report not just on problems, but on how our communities are seeking solutions. You're listening to KMUN. Local and regional news is brought to you by our news partners and by the KMUN News Team. That includes host and producer Skylar Butenshin and me, News Director Katie Frankowitz. You're listening to KMUN.